Hello, hello everyone, and how do you do? Welcome to the NARSA Weekly Update for the week commencing Monday the 31st of January 2022. It's Gary here again, and I just wanted to start off by letting you know I've got a wee bit of a head cold this week, so I hope it doesn't interrupt your audio or auditory pleasure for this week in terms of the NARSA Weekly Update. But if you feel a little bit safer by putting on a mask to listen to the whole podcast, then please do you and do what makes you feel comfortable. And firstly, after that, I did want to acknowledge that while over the last couple of weeks, I guess last week officially, I introduced a new referee watch section last week, I'm thinking it might have to be a gas watch because I didn't put the links to the articles in the podcast blurb like I said I would. And I also got the app counter completely wrong by some terrible mathematics at my side as well. So a couple of blatant errors there. But I don't think it's enough to bring back the what Gaz got wrong last week section just yet, because as we all know, Alan McGregor will prove this week that one error-strewn game, and in my case, one error-strewn podcast episode, doesn't mean that severe censures are on the way. More about Mr. McGregor in a wee while, and it's not going to be pleasant listening, I can tell you that. On that, what a bloody topsy-turvy week we had supporting the world-famous Glasgow Rangers, eh? We're still slap bang in the middle of this post-winter break stupidity phase, with us now taking 5 points from a possible 9 in the league against Aberdeen, Livingston and Ross County, having scored 5 and conceded 4 against Aberdeen, Livingston and Ross County. Oh my word. Talk about another couple, if I dare say it, limp performances in the league this past week. I'm trying to be as polite as I possibly can. We'll get to the actual game content in a wee bit here, but before I do, I just wanted to talk about a little bit of a pattern of behaviour now that a lot of people are noticing from Giovanni's teams, now that we're all just getting a wee bit more used to each other as he continues to settle into the role of manager of our great club. One observation I had on the mob from the East End was that, yes, they are picking up 3 points in mostly every game these days, but it is literally by the narrowest of margins in almost every single game. And by my reckoning, that run of being on the thinnest of knife edges would eventually come back to bite them and they would start to drop points. And now I find myself pointing the exact same observation at our team. We literally work hard to score a goal and then incredibly just seem to sit back as if to say, okay, we've done our bit, now let's see what you've got, which on some level might be okay if we were actually able to defend properly and solidly, but we've proven time and time again this defence can be as leaky as a sieve when it gets put under pressure at times. So all that to say, I'm just not impressed one little bit with what the team has served up since the winter break again, and if this continues, we win absolutely nothing this season, and that's just a sad fact, and it's so frustrating. So that was kind of going to be the theme for most of the pod tonight, just on a little bit of a downer. And then what does a club go and do? It goes and lifts us all up out of our dark moods today on transfer deadline day, and they go and sign Polish under-21 international right back Mateusz Zukowski. When I first read the name, I thought it was Mike Wazowski from Monsters, Inc., but apparently not, to essentially replace the gap left by Nathan Patterson's exit to Everton. And then they hit an absolute grand slam home run with the arrival of Aaron Ramsey from Juventus. Yeah, we signed a first-team player from Juventus. The last time, and I don't even know if it's maybe the only time that I can recall that we did that, was when we signed Sergio Perini 25 years ago, back in 1997. So this is a huge statement by the club. So last week getting in Diallo from Man United, and now Ramsey and Wazowski, and is brilliant business, incredible business by the club. So the excitement and buzz today, I have to say, was just incredible. What a turnaround, I guess, from Saturday. And it was just similar, I thought anyway, in terms of transfers as to when we secured Ryan Kent permanently. You know, there was all that buzz just about that time. But I more had the feeling today it was similar excitement as to when the previous manager joined us back in 2018. The whole fan base at that time were like, wow, what? And, you know, when that happened, and it felt very similar for me today. So Absolutely brilliant. On the Rangers website, Ramsey had said, "I'm really pleased to be joining a club like Rangers, where there is so much to look forward to between now and May. I had a number of offers on the table, but none matched the magnitude of this club. With European football and the chance to play in front of 50,000 fans every other week. I have had some fantastic conversations with the manager and Ross Wilson, and I'm really looking forward to working with both of them and to meeting the supporters." An absolutely brilliant signing, and I imagine a real eyebrow raiser for the whole of European football. I just cannot wait to see him in a Rangers shirt. Hopefully it's this Wednesday. And of course, I wish him all the very, very best during his tenure with us, and here's hoping he and the others that I mentioned there are the genuine catalyst to 56 for us. It's good for us, you know, with Wazowski being different. It's good that we are signing players who are expected to and capable of going straight into the first team. We've done a lot of squad signings over the past few transfer windows, and this one, to have genuine walk-ons for that is a very welcome relief, and hopefully the whole club feels a boost from all that. So, oof. All that said, let's go on to the game segment. I'm going to have to bring myself down a wee bit now. The first one was at home to Livingston last Wednesday night, where the conditions were just absolutely awful from the first to the last minute, and where we managed to get the narrow 1-0 win thanks to a moment of absolute magic from Scotty Arfield in the 75th minute. We dominated the possession and chances in the game, and I thought overall managed it pretty well, with the usual kind of cliche applying of, if it were another game, we'd have ran out much more comfortable winners. Still, it wasn't hugely pretty, nor was it particularly inspiring or entertaining overall, but it was a result that we wanted and needed, and we got the job done, so that's the main thing. It was great to see Alex Lowry follow up his performance in the Scottish Cup, his man of the match performance in the Scottish Cup, with his first team starting debut in the league in front of home fans. And again, I thought he showed up really well. A couple of times he was caught in possession, you know, probably not getting quite as much time and space on the ball as he would enjoy in the B team, but hopefully he's a real star in the making for us. It feels like it. And let's be a bit generous and say that the conditions didn't really help in terms of action, excitement and entertainment and a more convincing victory. But as I'd said last week after the Aberdeen draw, we do need to do better than that to have any hope of winning title number 56. And based on what I've seen, as I mentioned at the top of the pod this week, my confidence in Giovanni being able to correct this mini slump relatively easily was waning. Was waning ever so slightly until today, until the signings arrived today. On the referee watch for this particular game, I don't actually recall a whole hell of a lot of anything the referee did well or did that annoyed me. So overall, he'll get a pass for a job relatively well done. The slight caveat to that, that whole statement, or I guess my whole game summation, is that I did have to work. I had work meetings for most of the second half and didn't get to truly immerse myself in the match like I'd have wanted. So there might have been the odd wee thing that I missed. So apologies if I missed anything significant enough that would have a different slant on what you've seen on the game. Our second game, here we go, was Saturday morning's 3-3 draw away to Ross County. Ross County, now, we lost 13 league goals in 38 games last season. 13 league goals in 38 games this season thus far, and the season's been going for, what, 6 months now? This season, we've lost 7 goals to Ross County. And if you listen to last week's pod, You remember that I'd said that I thought they were dead and buried at the beginning of the season. They were just awful. They were rooted at the bottom of the table, and they've just started to manage to pick themselves up. They're now out of the bottom two. They've got a wee bit of daylight between themselves and Dundee. Even then, it's Ross County. They've scored 7 goals, more than half of the goals that we conceded in an entire campaign last year have been lost to Ross County in 3 games. Utterly unbelievable. And I'm sure I was the same as everyone else at the final whistle, being thoroughly, utterly pissed off about the manner of the drop points, with us capitulating on their equaliser in the 96th minute of the game. And I tell you what, for me, I wasn't overly surprised. I could feel it coming, and when it happened, it wasn't so much of a disappointed, a rage-filled, depressive, oh, I knew that was going to happen. It wasn't one of those. It was more like, I've just seen this movie before. It was that kind of moment where we're getting exposed more and more. readily for our shakiness at defending set pieces, yet seem to continue to concede the set pieces, whether it be corners or free kicks in dangerous positions. And it's just not on. But that said, as I calm down and think about it a bit more logically, and this was more so my thinking yesterday on Sunday, the biggest thing for me was the utter shambolic situations that we created to lose the three goals that we lost. In my almost 40 years of watching Rangers, I honestly cannot readily recall a game where we made three such basic stupid errors in one game, all leading to goals that proved to be meaningful and costly in terms of the result for the game. And that's another key for me. It seems like every single time we make a defensive mistake, it results in a goal. I don't see us making that many mistakes and then it just goes past the post or goalie makes a save or whatever. It always seems to just result in a goal. And I'm probably wrong with that one as well, I imagine, but it's just how it feels right now. On to the game. We did hand a debut to our £37 million man, Amad Diallo, and he shone for the whole time, actually, that he was on, I was going to say from the first minute, but, you know, for the whole game, including a tap-in for a debut goal in just 5 minutes. It has to be an amazing feeling for a new forward player to do that and just get that monkey off the back. And then eventually the coaching staff decided that he shouldn't get booted about the pitch anymore by all the cloggers and cluggers in the Ross County side, and we took him off for his own protection around about the 65-minute mark, something like that. But other than that, on to some of the more negative stuff. Alan McGregor's performance, in terms of his culpability for the first and third goals particularly, and by the way, he wasn't exactly lightning quick getting out to close down for the second either, but his overall performance was an absolute disaster. It was his worst performance by a country mile since he came back to the club that I can recall. The first one, for some reason, the powder puff, a ball over, he goes down on his knees, fumbles the ball, and then just glacently stares at it as if thinking, oh, what happened there? And makes no attempt to actually recover the ball, no attempt whatsoever to recover the ball, and just watches the boy come in and tap it in. And this, by the way, from a guy who absolutely berates anyone of the outfielders anytime someone gets the ball anywhere close to the box at any point in the game. It would have been kind of nice, and maybe that's what needs to happen, if the captain or the vice-captain, you know, James Tavernier or Conor Goldson or someone would do that to him and maybe give him a bit of a shake. But no, I don't see any evidence of that. It didn't look like it happened, certainly from the footage that I've seen. And then just 4 minutes later, that's the first goal. 4 minutes later, it's like watching Calamity Jane all over again. No fewer than four players combined to diarrhea all over themselves completely, and incrementally worse each time, attempts to clear the ball, culminating in a boy running clear to slot home, and after 20 minutes we're 2-1 down, which was just incredible. It was one of those, like, what is going on here? Then we get to half time. Second half, we come out flying and we are absolutely fantastic in terms of intensity, entertainment, going with chances, hunger, desire to take the game by the scruff of the neck and reclaim the lead through the goals that we got, you know, from James Tavernier and Conor Goldson. And interestingly enough, did you see Conor Goldson making a point of kissing the badge while gesturing to the Rangers fans after he scored? I wonder what that means. I wonder if that means he wants to stay, or if he's trying to appease the fans, or he was just excited, or whatever. I'm not sure, but great to see. Excuse me, great to see that sort of stuff. And then we do what we seem to be making a habit of doing under Giovanni, as I mentioned before. We sit back and we decided to defend the lead. Yes, we did have a great chance to make it 4-2 when Roof very unfortunately hit the post, but it was more them attacking us than us properly managing the game out. We then make some somewhat eyebrow-raising substitutions to see out the game, I guess, and we've proven on more occasions than not that we're just absolutely pants at game management at the end. And that's not, by the way, that's not labelled at Giovanni in his reign either, by the way. That was the same for the previous manager. Yeah, their goalie at one point almost gets decapitated. The medical staff come on and pick up most of his face from the pitch and stick it back on roughly to where it was before, then wipe all the remaining blood evenly all over his face and he's good to continue. It was like a Halloween bloody movie there. And all this means that there's 7 minutes of extra time. Sound familiar for a match at Ross County? I'm sure it does. And then on this occasion, we're the losers. And the lad comes in to had to slot home the equaliser in terms of, obviously, we're the losers in terms of conceding a goal that's meaningful in terms of drop points. The corner comes in. Alan McGregor is even worse on this one as he leans back instead of just diving down on the ball, because there was no one around him at that particular point, and they're just leaning down and smothering the ball, and then the game is done. But no, he leans back in some way as if trying to protect himself or thinking he's seen something else or whatever happens. And then, as I said, the Ross County lad comes in and just slots home the equaliser. This goal was just pathetic, absolutely pathetic. You know, Kamara, who wasn't great overall, and Lundstrom had combined to give the set piece away that I'd kind of talked about a wee bit earlier in the first place. And as I said, just disgusting, awful way to end the game. So 3-3 it is, and I was disappointed for most of the day. But as I mentioned earlier, I'm actually feeling a bit better about it now. Not so much from the signings today. I was actually feeling a bit better about it, as I mentioned, from yesterday, due to the fact that I just haven't seen that. I haven't seen those basic, worse than schoolboy errors combined in one match from one Rangers team to be so meaningful. And I'm maybe glad that it happened against Ross County and didn't happen this Wednesday. I hope it doesn't happen this Wednesday. So it has to be a one-off. It bloody better be. In terms of the referee watch for this game, again, no complaints at all about the ref for this game. He might have protected our £37 million asset a wee bit better when he was getting booted all over the place, but it felt like he made the bookings that he should have made and tried his best to keep the play flowing. So good work on that one again. So yeah, so disappointing. Just awful. Anyway, this week we have two games in the league to start off an action-packed February, starting with this Wednesday's rearranged Old Firm game at Sharkhead against That Mob from the East End, and it's a 2:45 PM Eastern Standard Time kickoff. That's 7:45 PM UK time. This is going to be a hugely interesting game. We know the lobbying that they were involved in to get the game rescheduled, as they had a number of players unavailable for the January the 2nd original date, and that was at a time when we were flying. So it's going to be interesting to see how we handle the atmosphere in the game, especially after Saturday's horror show. The last time we played That Mob was back, you'll remember, at the end of August, where we won 1-0 courtesy of that brilliant headed goal by Philip Hollander. And, you know, we're going to be playing this Mob a lot over the coming months, so this is a fantastic opportunity to blood in our new guys, and hopefully we do that, and get them used to this huge atmosphere, stamp our authority on the game, and show them and the rest of the world just who truly is the best team in Scotland. I cannot wait for this game. The second one, equally as important, because you get the same amount of points, of course, for both games, is this coming Sunday at home to Hearts, this time with a little bit of a more respectable 11 AM Eastern Standard Time kickoff. That's 4 PM UK. And we need maximum points, of course, from both games to ensure no further ground is lost in our quest for 56. And the last time we played Hearts was at Tynecastle back in mid-December, not too long ago, where we ran out 2-0 winners thanks to very early goals from Alfredo Morelos and Joe Aribo. And while we seen the game out with a clean sheet, we did give ourselves a fright or two throughout the game. So hopefully we can cut those errors down and get to a point where we have a more comfortable game at Ibrox. So a similar or better result than last time will hopefully be on the cards for us to round off a great week overall, including 6 points. And that's where we're at now. I've mentioned in the last couple of pods how important, exciting and downright difficult February is going to be for us. And we will literally enter each week knowing that we could come out at the other side like heroes and on cloud nine, or have a Ross County-esque moment and come out of the other side as flat as a pancake, or have some other mediocre stuff in between. And this is the joys of the business end of the season. But maximum points in every game is the absolute requirement for us, and I'm confident that we can really take the game to those two teams this week and get just that. Points per game as it stands right now, a little bit more dire than it was a couple of weeks ago. Rangers, we are now on 2.43, down from 2.48 last week, and That Mob are on 2.35, which is another modest increase for the second week in a row now. So we're only, 0.08 better off than them, and it was a lot more than that not so long ago. That just shows you how dire things have been since the winter break. For RTV, again, we did have a little bit of activity this week on the RTV vouchers, the individual vouchers specifically. So thanks again to every club who got in touch to request the vouchers in advance. And we also received correspondence from RTV directly late last week with a number of clubs' RTV vouchers having expired in and around the end of January. And most likely by the time you listen to this pod, each club will have had their new voucher issued. Alan McWatt was actually going to be doing that tonight. And this was because of basically an error from RTV, as the original ones that we were given in the summer were supposed to have a 12-month expiry and they only had a 6-month expiry. So we have to go through this again. Hopefully we've caught everyone now and everyone will be set up for Wednesday's game. If not, please get in touch with Alan directly and he'll get you sorted. And don't wait till Wednesday. As I've said many times before, the key for these vouchers when you get them is that you can activate them on any device from anywhere. It doesn't have to be on your club computer or in the premise. You can, whomever has access to your club account details can go onto a browser and redeem the voucher well in advance of Wednesday's game. So please, please, please do that. I don't know how available we will all be in terms of support for you to be able to get you sorted. I know for a fact I'm going to go, assuming this cold goes away, I'm going to go down to the Palomino for the game, so I'm not going to be sitting at my computer to be able to help as readily as I normally would, and we all want to enjoy the Old Firm game for what it is. For shout-outs, I'd firstly like to pass on Narsa's sincere condolences to Wim Jansen's family and friends on his passing last week at the age of 75 to the horrible disease of dementia. I know firsthand how horrible, debilitating and draining that disease is. My mum succumbed to that back in 2017, 18. And I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And Wim, of course, is most famous for stopping our bid for 10 in a row and will forever be remembered in Scotland for having done that. So sincere condolences to his friends and family from everyone here at Narsa. Secondly, I would have wished Alan McGregor a happy 40th birthday today, but after Saturday I don't really want to. If he plays on Wednesday and does what he typically does against the East End crew, then I'll definitely wish him a belated happy birthday next week. And on the topic of birthdays, I have two family birthdays, my family, for this week. Excuse me. The first is today, and it's my nephew Callum Carey's 31st birthday today. Wow, 31. I remember vividly the day he was born. Jeez, I'm getting old. And the second one is for Andy Carey, Callum's dad. And Andy, of course, is Narsa's social media guru, and he celebrates his birthday this coming Wednesday, where he, like the rest of us, will be hoping 3 points at Sharkheid is what we're going to get as the ultimate birthday gift. So happy birthday, lads, and I hope you have great times when your birthday comes. Well, Callum is probably celebrating right now, and Andy's, we will be together for that, so I'm looking forward to seeing him and celebrating with him then. For our convention update this week, I'll start again with what my countdown app says, and then I actually did look at the app before I'm going to tell you what it says, and I can officially confirm it is 121 days from today until the first official event of the 2022 convention. What a mess I made of that last week. That's just incredible. In terms of updates for Vegas, I can confirm that the Golf will be going on sale this week. We thought there was a possibility of maybe getting it on sale on the weekend there, but we're really targeting for this week, hopefully on the back of an Old Firm victory. It'll be a little bit later this week, I imagine. The football will take a wee bit longer as we're still working through some challenges with getting appropriate shirts for the tournament. Admittedly, I have to say, I thought the shirts would have been an absolute slam dunk for us, but it's proven a wee bit more difficult than originally was anticipated to get the shirts organised. We want to do a good job on the shirts because we know they're keepsakes and mementos of the occasion for people who managed to get to play in them, so we want to do a good job of that. It's just taken a wee bit longer than we were hoping. The fields are booked, the transportation has been organised, it's just the costings and availability for the shirts, and then we'll be good to get that on sale too, so hopefully mid to late February for that one, I imagine. The Sunday leaving do is also still being finalised, with a couple of options being considered for this event, and the challenge we have with us is that the pubs in and around the hotel can't fit anything like the numbers we're planning to have at the convention. You know, right now we're about 2,300-2,400 people, so it might end up being held across a couple of venues And but that's not an absolute guarantee either. So as I say, we're still looking at some options there in conjunction with the guys down in Las Vegas to see what's best for the Sunday do. We'll just see how that one transpires. But with us, of course, and effectively in February now, and with it being 121 days to go, we do need to up the intensity on the events to get them out there and get ourselves organised. Other things that you can expect to hear from us on in the next 121 days will be canvassing emails going out to everyone who has purchased tickets to help us understand anyone who has any food allergies or any special accommodations that they need to have us make accommodations for, and you know, get the hotel kitchen staff to know about, or the hotel staff in general, if it's not just a food allergy or something like that. And we will also be working on our seating plan for the Grand Banquet event as well, to ensure that we're organised with that part well ahead of time as well. So getting working, getting moving and manoeuvring on some of the things in the background that make the event a bit more materially enjoyable for everybody that's there. So stay tuned. I don't think we'll get the food allergy email out in the next couple of weeks, but it's certainly something that we've got on the list of things to do. And another wee reminder that we, from a ticketing perspective, are working on a no refunds policy for any purchased tickets to date. And we have seen, as I mentioned over the last couple of weeks now, we've seen a bit more activity on tickets trading. And so once again, just to remind you, if you have tickets for sale, please use Facebook, Twitter or Instagram, tag NARSA in that, and then let the bears know what you have to sell and how many. And then once you've got them sold, just confirm with us here that the transaction has indeed taken place, and we can change the names and email addresses associated with the purchase in our systems here as well. And one thing on the tickets, the actual tickets themselves, I did want to put out there that this is the first year we're going fully electronic on the tickets for each of the events. So for regular NARSA convention attendees, you will know that we would post out the tickets to everyone, and you would have a physical copy of a ticket. You would take off the perforated part for that. You would get your band, you would get access to the event. We're not doing part of that. It's going to be electronic only. We will have security each door, like we've had for a number of years now, equipped with scanning equipment, a scanning app on their smart devices that they will use to confirm your entry. So you can either print your tickets and bring them along, or just keep the app open on your smartphone with the QR code on it, and that'll work, and we'll get it scanned and we'll get you in there. And we'll still do bands for each of the nights as well, just so that you don't have to do that every time you go out and then to get to the toilets and stuff like that. No doubt there will be the odd hiccup here and there, so I'm asking in advance, I guess, for some patience as we work through this and get it right. In an ideal world, without any pandemic to manage, this would have been our third go-round on the e-ticketing, and we'd be masters at it by now, but because, of course, of the pandemic, we didn't get a chance to do it in San Francisco in 2020, nor Toronto 2021. So it transpires that this is going to be our first, and that's just the way that it is. I am more than confident that it's going to be excellent, and any hiccups will be minor, and we'll have people on hand to make sure that any errors are corrected fairly quickly. On the 2023 convention, I am finally, at long last, very, very happy to announce that we have completed all the formalities for the event, and I can confirm officially that we will be staying and enjoying the event in the Sheraton Centre Toronto Hotel, which is located slap bang in the middle of the financial district in downtown Toronto. Yeah, so that's where we're going to be going in 2023. The hotel sales staff have been tremendous to work with as we've navigated through the negotiations process, so I'm really, really happy that we could come up with a deal that'll give us what we need to put on another great event in Toronto. We'll go a wee bit quiet on 2023 in terms of the preparations as we refocus all of our energies back to 2022 and making sure that that's going to be absolute dynamite, and we will look from a 2023 perspective to get the hotel on sale around about July-ish time frame, something like that. And just a quick one in terms of the conditions that we managed to get in the contract, we do have an early bird special for hotel room bookings that are made up to, I believe it's December 31st this year. I'll tell you more about that as the year progresses, I definitely will. but there is incentive to book your hotel early this time, and not an insignificant incentive in terms of that as well. You know, there's going to be some financial savings that you'll be able to make, which might help you buy some of the beer there, because it's kind of costly, but we'll talk about that a wee bit closer to the time. So great news on that one. Really, really happy to have this significant milestone behind us, and we will move on, as I say, and refocus our energies back to Vegas 2022. Another regular plug for the Frequently Asked Questions document on the convention page. If you have any questions on the convention logistics, they will be answered there. If not, get in touch and we'll do our best to answer them. On other business, as I had said last week, we do have an open position on the NASA Executive or Communications Director, and I'm very happy to report that we've had interest from both Canada and America in finding out a little bit more about the role. We are in the final stages right now of solidifying the role description for this one, and we will get it out for everyone's viewing pleasure when we have that done. And ideally, I'd like to have it done this week, if possible. And then get it shipped over to the fellas that were interested in it, and then we can see where we go from there and get that organised. So, but really good to see that there's interest and people continue to come on board and help us out on the NASA Executive. So thank you for that. And we did indeed host our NASA Executive meeting last Tuesday night and covered our usual fare of finance, RTV, convention and marketing and sponsorship portfolios. And it was another really solid meeting with the new executive members. And we're now in a frequency of monthly meetings between now and the convention. It was bi-monthly. Not every second month there. I'm not sure if you say bi-monthly for that. So there'll be more touch points and more updates as we go forward. And that's why I'm mentioning that. One main topic we did discuss last week was the planned budget for NASA 2022, specifically around the costs for travel for our VIP guests. What we've never had during my tenure on the executive, which is coming up for 10 years this June, 10 years, is a kind of scaled ratio of number of guests and the ratio to the number of VIPs that we would have, you know. So like a sliding scale, 500 guests gets you this amount of VIPs, 1,000 guests gets you this amount of VIPs. And so we've never really done that. And for this year's convention in particular, we are dealing with increased travel costs, which could limit our ability to bring over as many VIPs as we would like. That's not to say that we won't have some stellar guests there, but at this stage in our planning, we are conducting further research into travel costs so that we can get, as they say over here, the best bang for our buck in terms of who you'll be able to enjoy in terms of VIP guests at the events. We have engaged with the Holiday and Flight Centre, our official NASA travel partner, to give us more of an idea of costing on that, and we'll see how far away our original estimates are from what the reality is, which was honestly based on pre-pandemic travel costs. We didn't really do a whole bunch of research as we put the budget together. We should know a little bit more about that this week when Rosie gets back to us, and then we can take it from there once we know. So I should be in a position to hopefully give you a wee bit more information about that next week. And finally, under other business for this week, you may already have seen, this is for NASA clubs specifically, confirmation from NASA Secretary Sandra Hawthorne last week that we are hosting our Winter General Meeting this coming Sunday, February the 6th at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will be that the timing is coinciding with around about 35 minutes or so after the Hearts game, to give folks a chance to either get home from the club or stick around at the club and get themselves refreshed and getting ready to go. It will be a Zoom call, and I'd really like to encourage you to attend and represent your clubs and the NASA's best interest as much as you can. We have a very important motion on the floor from Bramalee Rangers Supporters Club that needs to be voted on, and the information was in the agenda confirmation email from Sandra, and we need as much club representation there as possible. For some reason, the winter meetings are historically very poorly attended, but I'm hoping with the motion that's on the floor and the materiality of the motion that's on the floor and maybe a wee bit more desire to find out a bit more about the Communications Director and NASA 2022, of course, we'll have more people attend. And one thing from a style perspective that I'd like to let you know is that I attend meetings all day, every day as part of my job. So when it comes to any extracurricular meetings, my main motivation is to make the meeting as efficient and as quick as possible. I do that in every walk of life, whether it's NASA, whether it's Lodge, whether it's it's coaching or whatever it is, any stuff outside of work, I try and get it done as quickly as possible without, of course, compromising the integrity of the meeting structure or the content that we have to cover. This Sunday will be no different. You have my absolute commitment that it won't be dragged out any longer if that's maybe something that you haven't enjoyed in the past of the meetings dragging on and on and on. We will try and be as efficient as we possibly can be. It's your association and we need your input to continue and maintain a community here in North America. So please do everything you can to attend. I'd really, really appreciate it. If you haven't seen the email from, it was sent to the presidents and secretaries. If you haven't seen that yet, please bug your president or secretary to get a copy of that. Take a peek and see if that's something that you would be interested in. On to communications. Not too much for this week. I promise we're almost done now. Well, did you get your tickets for Harry Styles during last week's sales? Oh, if not, you're out of luck, as it's sold out now. In fact, his whole stadium legs of the tour sold out, an unbelievable 2 million tickets in 4 days. Oh my word. I knew the guy was popular. I didn't realise he was that popular. Fortunately, me and my family did manage to secure our tickets, so we will be leaving Las Vegas immediately after the convention, heading back to Calgary to pick Leo up and then heading home to Scotland. And my understanding is that Billie Eilish and Ed Sheeran are both playing that week as well, the week that we're going to be back. And Leo is a fan, particularly of Billie Eilish, so we're going to try and get tickets for that. I know that one's sold out as well. So if anybody has 3 tickets for the Billie Eilish gig and they don't want to go, please do let me know and I'd be more than happy to take them off of your hands as well. And you can contact me directly, of course, at rangerscc@hotmail.com. That's 2 S's and 2 C's. And the very last thing on the communication front for this week is you might have seen that Rangers announced a partnership with a company called Strikers Inc. And they said, Rangers Football Club are delighted to announce a new official partnership with Strikers Inc., the international gaming organisation and developer of the upcoming online football video game, UFL, are the latest brand to be announced as an official partner of the club. Launched in 2016, Strikers Inc. currently operates out of 5 regional offices across Europe, developing a free-to-play online football game. Rangers commercial and marketing director James Bisgrove commented, "We've already seen the gameplay for Ibrox Stadium from the UFL and it looks fantastic. We're confident Rangers' global fan base will be excited to join the UFL gaming community, which is set to bring a new dimension to the online football gaming experience." Eugene Nashilov, CEO at Strikers Inc., added, "We at Strikers Inc. are happy to welcome Rangers to the UFL family. Throughout their illustrious history, Rangers' unmatchable fighting spirit has earned them many trophies. They showed it once again last season when they took the league by storm." A little bit canned maybe, but I like the sentiment of what Eugene says there. And more new avenues from the club to expand brand awareness and overall reach into new and emerging markets. Personally, I don't know much about this space, the gaming space at all, which really actually goes for nothing, as I don't know a lot of stuff about a lot of things. But it does seem like a solid partnership and I'm happy for the club and for Strikers Inc. to come on board as an official partner. So that's going to do it for this week, my friends. Like last week, the games are coming thick and fast and over the next wee while, and none bigger than this Wednesday. It's a chance to really obliterate the cobwebs from Saturday's comedy show and show the world the real Glasgow Rangers and just spank that mob. As always, thank you very, very much for taking the time to listen. Please do share it with anyone that you think might enjoy it. Until next week, please do take care. All the very best, and here's to 6 important points. Cheerio.